You're his son, and you're an evangelist, and so come on and evangelize.
Well, thank you guys for having me back. I've been here a couple times, back when I was this big with my dad, and then a couple years ago I met Mr. Dugan, and know a couple of you all, Mr. Carey, good to see you again, and so like I said, I'm with Resurrection Church. I'm an evangelist, so I go out on campus and tell students about Jesus, do Bible studies, bring them to church. I'm on the worship team, helping that way. I'm the oldest of five. Me and all my brothers and sisters love Jesus. We're serving Him together with our parents in the kingdom of God, building this church, and very thankful for how I was raised. Kind of wanted to get into that just to start, just about who I am and how I came to know the Lord. Like I said, my dad gave his life to Jesus in college. And then came to a church. That's how I met my mom, and they've been in college ministry for over 25 years. And so I grew up in that household. I grew up hearing about Jesus, hearing the gospel, and even at a young age, I started to recognize sin as it is, for what it is. It's an offense against God. And so I would try to, try harder. I would try to work harder to not disobey my parents, to not steal my siblings' things, to not lie. And I began to get very frustrated because, as we all know, that is not how one approaches God. That's not how you get free from sin. And got to a point where I started to be frustrated and just cry out to God. I was like, Lord, please help me. I need to change. I want to change, but I can't. And just my dad very simply explained to me the gospel. You have to repent, give your whole life to Jesus, and surrender to Him. So I made that decision. And I was at a pretty young age, gave my life to Jesus. For sure didn't understand every single thing about that, but as I got older and came to different crossroads in my life throughout high school and all, I really went back to that moment where I told the Lord that my life was His. And that was always the foundation of where I would go. Is, yes, I made that decision, so I'm moving forward with that. Once I got to high school, that's where I really started to feel a calling to full-time ministry. I remember just kind of starting to think about what I was going to do for the future, and witnessing my parents' life and having a testimony and witness of watching college students come to know Jesus. That really inspired me. And I remember there was one verse that kind of stuck out to me as I was thinking about it. It was Proverbs 24:11, which says, deliver those who are being taken away to death. And I was like, man, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus and rescue them from going down the path they're going down. And so that's really where I started to pursue that, and went to CU. I graduated 2022. I prayed about what God wanted me to study. I felt like I was supposed to do communication and music, and just use that to equip me to preach the gospel to people. I tried to be a better communicator. Public speaking was not my greatest strong suit. I remember I had a presentation in class where I memorized the whole script of what I was supposed to say, forgot one word, and then just froze on stage. That was fun. My classmates had to pick up the slack for me. But I'm very, very thankful just for how my parents raised me. In the Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And so I'm thankful for that. And then the other verse that came to mind as I was just thinking about why I do what I do, I just remember Jesus in Romans 13:14, if you guys would want to turn there. Now I'm reading out the New American Standard. There's a starting verse, Romans 10, verse 13. That's why. Starting verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So just the necessity of someone's got to go out and share the gospel with these people. I mean, I can't, my best friend's dad is the one who stepped out on campus and preached the gospel to my dad. And I'm here because of that.
Thank you, Lord.
And so to have that is, that's the vision of, I guess, any evangelist is I want to share the gospel with this person, and who knows how that changes their destiny, you know. And so that's what I do. I go out on campus. I just talk to people, ask them, hey, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe, what do you believe about heaven, hell, all that? And as they express interest, I try to set up a weekly Bible study with them and just start looking at the Word of God, give them a Bible. I always tell guys, I'm like, look, it's great that we sit down every week and meet, but you need to go to the Word of God yourself. You know, you have to start putting this in your heart and ask God, cry out to him to show you who he is, you know? And that's what we've seen in an incredible measure since we've ever started in 2008. But then I really wanted to highlight this past year. Anybody here part of the Gideons? The Gideons, the handout of the Bibles?
Not anymore. Should be.
It was really interesting. We would be out on campus preaching the gospel to people, and one of the guys on our church staff was just chatting to them, and they go, you know, we've been out here for a long time. Every year we come out here and we hand out Bibles. And this campus is different than it was 10 years ago. They're like, people are coming up to us, they want Bibles, they're asking questions. You know, so there was, this past school year, there is a very noticeable momentum in people expressing interest. One of the guys on our staff, he's just reading his Bible in the student center, and someone came up to him and was like, hey, are you reading, is that a Bible? He's like, yeah, and they're like, I need a church. Like, I need to find people who love God and who are following him, you know? We'd have people in Bible studies with another student, and another student would see them from across the way and come and be like, hey, are you guys doing a Bible study? Can I join? You know? And I want to highlight a couple of those folks. One is my good friend, Jason. Sorry?
No, I was just answering your question.
Okay. My good friend, Jesus, he's a student at CU. He came in, he started coming around to our church like a year or so ago. Heard the gospel and just wasn't ready to give his life to Jesus at that moment. I just had some different things going on and had some family health scares come up that really caused him to call out to God, like, God, why is this happening? Why, if you're good, why is this happening? And the Lord really revealed himself to my friend Jesus, and he had an encounter with God's presence that completely changed him. He came back to school and started doing Bible studies and was still just hesitating. Just, I want to serve Jesus, but I still love what I'm doing, just the worldly way of things. And eventually God got a hold of him, and he was like, I'm done. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And man, that guy loves to tell his classmates and his friends about Jesus.
Awesome.
I'll be out there and talking to people. This is one of my favorite stories. I'm just out there and he's just walking around. I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? He's like, good. I have 30 minutes between my classes. I'm trying to meet people, I'm trying to tell them about Jesus. And there's just the hunger. And so we were doing it together and just the fire and just sharing his testimony with people, like, man, this is what God did in my life. It's really cool to see. And one of the highlights of this year, a lot of the students who gave their lives to Jesus in the fall came into our church. Really started having that heart. I want to share the gospel with my teammates, my classmates, my friends. And so we had an outreach trip in the spring to the University of Arizona. And a bunch of these students came, and Jesus was one of those people. And that really just got a fire in his heart. And Kyle, it's a lot of fun to see. My good friend Ben, he's another student. Same thing, came to our church in the fall and really got plugged in, and same thing on this outreach trip, and was just sharing how God really changed his heart to really preach the gospel. He plays lacrosse with a bunch of friends. He's like, I want to get my teammates coming, I want to, you know, do all that. And so It was really awesome to see that. One thing about this trip that was interesting that really ministered to all the students was we would pray before every day going out on campus on this outreach trip. And we would just talk to each other, encourage each other. And there was one day I was praying, and I really felt God put on my heart that we were going to meet somebody with a scar on his arm. And that was, I shared that with our team. I was like, I really just feel like we're going to meet somebody like that. First day we're out on campus, a couple of my friends are out ministering. First guy they meet, big old scar on his arm. He's receptive to the gospel. He tells them, I was just praying two nights ago that God would send somebody into my life. And that I would meet with someone like you. So they had a conversation. They set up a follow-up meeting for the next day. He gave his life to Jesus in that meeting. And I was with one of the students in our church who was out there preaching the gospel. You know, so that was really something. My brother David, who is at Front Range Community College right now, he's a tall guy, he likes to play basketball and hockey. But same thing, someone in our group was praying, they felt like, I feel like we're going to meet somebody who's recently lost a loved one. And so they shared that, and so my brother David meets a guy on the football team, talks to him, shares the gospel with him, and sure enough, so it's actually crazy, my dad played football at Arizona. And so after the conversation, my brother is like, hey, did you know this guy's dad? Because this guy mentioned that his dad played football pretty close to the time my dad did. And he goes, yeah, he hosted me on my recruiting trip. Turns out he had died the year before. And so my brother calls this guy, he's like, hey, just so you know, like my dad knew your dad. And really ministered to the guy, it really opened up his heart, it really made him receptive. So that was just another really awesome thing that came from that trip. And just overall, just student after student after student in our church who took that step of faith to preach the gospel somewhere else to complete strangers, over and over again, I was just like, man, I can't believe how God moved in this Bible study that we had. I can't believe that we met this person, you know, who was just ready to hear the gospel. A couple of girls in our church, they met a girl who the week before was Arizona spring break, and a stranger, just some lady who was sitting in the airplane seat next to her, shared the gospel with her. So all that week, she'd been thinking about that conversation. And so a couple of girls from our church met her. And she goes, it's crazy that you stopped me. I just heard the gospel on an airplane flight back from my spring break. And yes, I want to hear more. I want to hear about what you have to say. So they met with her the next day. And she gave her life to Jesus. In that meeting,
she was ready.
And she told the girls who met her, she goes, you guys had like a light on you that I knew I didn't have. But now that I've given my life to Jesus, I have that light inside of me,
wow.
You know? And so all that just came from, you know, us continuing to sow and God's power just moving on campus, you know, I mean, Boulder is not the most godly place, to say the least. But nevertheless, we're meeting people who are convicted, who are desperate. I mean, we've met so many people who it's like, I can't believe you stopped me. I was just praying. I was just hoping that I would meet somebody like you, you know? And, you know, some people come around for a little bit and then just decide, this isn't for me right now. I'm gonna wait to give my life to Jesus. Okay, at least they got the word of God sown into them. I had a really cool encounter. I met a guy. We were just talking, and he was like, "Yeah, I've done this before. I've answered these questions and heard this before, but sure, why not? Let's keep talking." Turns out he had a really rough last year. Got just into some personal things and was really broken. And so we get to talking, I started sharing the gospel with him again, and he starts tearing up on the spot. He's like, man, someone told me this a year ago, and I was not ready to hear this. He's like, but I feel like I'm more ready now. I was like, well, man, we should sit down and keep talking about this, you know, because God's clearly drawing you to himself. And so I go to put his phone number in my phone. Turns out I was the guy who had stopped him a year before. And just out of 35,000 students, I crossed paths with him that day. You know, so we sat down, we met for a while, and he's real close to giving his life to the Lord. Just needs the Lord to reveal himself to him. But God, that was one of my favorite parts of the semester, just watching the Lord move in that way. It's like I couldn't come up with that on my own, you know. Another cool thing, you know, in the last couple of years, this is, you know, since COVID, we've had a lot of, you know, people coming into our church, and one of the guys I'm teaching, just happened to be a disciple, his name's Jacob. His sister Torshana came into our church during COVID and gave her life to Jesus and was really starting to come around and be planted. And she started bringing her brother Jacob, who was in high school at the time. And so he heard the gospel, gave his life to Jesus, has been part of our church for a while. And so he comes out with me on campus and shares the gospel with me. And he went on this outreach trip for the first time. And it's funny, he's just out there just talking like giant football guys and just going for it, you know, just the boldness and the might just to preach the gospel to complete strangers. It was really fun to watch. This year, we approached over 7,500 students with the gospel. We had 95 average weekly Bible study set where we're sitting down every week with somebody, showing them the Word of God, preaching the gospel to them, discipling them. We had 222 new students come to church and hear the gospel. And one thing that's been cool is a few of them stayed in town this summer. And it's been really cool because they're really joined to the fellowship part of the church, where it's not just, okay, I show up on Sunday and then that's it. Yeah. I show up to church Bible study, that's it. It's like, man, this is where God has placed me. I mean, we hear students like, man, this is my home. You guys are like my family.
Right.
And it's been a wonderful time where it's just, they're building each other up. I mean, you have seniors, sophomores, every class just reaching out to each other, building each other up and everything. It's been really, really awesome. There are struggles. I mean, one thing that happened this past year, I had a really close friend, his name was Thomas. He kind of a wild mountain man, but God got a hold of him. I mean, God met him in his dorm room. He was praying and was like, Lord, I need to know you. And he's like, I felt God's presence just fill my dorm room. I was like, without a doubt, Jesus is God. Like, I know for a fact that Jesus is the King of Kings. And he told me later, he's like, I didn't know this, but my uncle and my cousin were praying for me that night that I would meet Jesus. And he did. And he really started making a lot of progress. And then just had some things come up where he had a history with, you know, getting in the party scene and the drug culture and all that. And so some of his old buddies convinced him that it was okay for Christians to still do drugs. And he kind of disappeared. You know, and that is the challenge. Is it's like in the parable of the sower, there's people who believe for a while, and then in time of temptation fall away. You know, because they don't have a firm root. And so that is part of the reality. Is there are people who come and they get planted and they really grow, and then there's the people who come around for a little bit and stuff comes and takes them out. That's the fight that is Boulder. You know, I mean, it's so I walk on the hill. I was talking to this rock about the hill, how it's blowing up a little bit. And you walk up there and there's all these strong young men wearing crosses on their necks. And they're getting just as drunk as everybody else. And they're just they're partying just like everybody else. But if you ask them, they're like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You know? And so that's part of what we face, is like, you know, you actually have to live it. You can't just say it. You know? And one more story as I start to head towards the gate. One of the guys who's been coming to our church, he's a junior now. His name's Clark. So I actually met him, I think his first semester on campus. I tried to preach the gospel to him and he wasn't interested. But then two or three other people in our church stopped him on campus. He was still, no, no, no. Then finally, the guys on our staff and the student who was out with us ministering stopped him again, like, hey, can we talk to you about Jesus? He's like, okay, fine. Fine, I'll listen. And God used that conversation. He was ready at that point. He started doing Bible studies, gave his life to Jesus. has really been awesome. He's started preaching the gospel and getting his roommates involved in a Bible study. His roommate Ty gave his life to Jesus. He brought all but one of his roommates to church. They all heard the gospel, you know? And so he's back in California for the summer, but before he left, we were having a group Bible study. And he was like, man, I've just been crying out to God, like, Lord, where can I share the gospel when I'm home? Who can I share it with? And he's been like, I've been praying like, man, I could go here, I could go to the beach, I could go here. But that's been his heart. And it's funny, because the moment I realized I had met him before, he had a hat on that says, just out here trusting God. And I remember that hat stuck out to me when I first met him. And then he shows up to one of our group Bible studies like a year or two later, and he's wearing that hat. I was like, Clark, did I meet you on campus like your freshman year? And he's like, bro, like five of you did. But that's one of my favorite stories. And the student who met him is now full-time on our staff preaching the gospel out there on campus. And that's just been, this past year has been so rewarding, not without its challenges, but just watching freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, and being like, man, I know I'm not right with Jesus. My life is a mess. I have to find the truth. And that's just been a hunger on that campus ever since the fall. And then not only that, God's raising up another generation to preach the gospel. I mean, most of the students who come to our church, they come out with us whenever they can to preach the gospel. And, you know, they're kind of new to it, so there's a learning process. But I'm really excited for this upcoming school year. Just to watch the power of God move, because that's what the gospel is it's the power of God. I always think of 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God does not consist of word only, but power. And that's what we've seen. We sit down, we share the gospel with people, and it's like, in a moment, the lights come on. Or they go to their dorm after a Bible study, and it's like, I can't believe it, but I believe this. You know, where God just reveals himself to them supernaturally and changes their life forever. So anyways, I appreciate you guys letting me come back. That's what I'm doing. That's our ministry. I know a couple of you guys partner with us. And if you guys have any questions on if you'd like to be a part of helping out on a financial or prayer basis, you can talk to me after this. And if you have any other questions, happy to answer them. But that's kind of all I had, Mr. Ed.
Okay. Questions, guys?
Where do you meet now?
We meet at Manhattan Middle School. We just meet out of auditorium and meet in there every week. When we started, we met in a classroom in Hale Sciences. And then we outgrew that, moved to New Vista High School. And then that had all the renovations getting done. So then we had some friends from another church who were meeting in Manhattan. And they're like, hey, this is available because we're going to the location. So if you want it, you can. So it's pretty close to campus.
Yeah, I live around the corner from there. I've seen you guys show up, and I don't know who it was, but I gotta say, it's really exciting to hear what you guys are up to and see how God is touching all these people. And I have to say, I know you're excited about what you're doing, but you have no idea, we have no idea who we touch, how it resonates out.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people who are like, you know, they listen to one thing and, you know, maybe, you know, come for a week and then leave. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea that their lives made in 10 years blossom. You have no idea. Very excited to hear you today for me.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that has happened. There is a guy who, yeah, he did Bible studies for like a couple weeks with one of the guys on our staff. And just, he was all into the new age, just like psychedelics, all that. Heard the gospel, nothing happened for like 3 years. And then he ended up calling this guy on our staff. He's like, hey man, I never forgot what you told me. God revealed himself to me and I gave my life to Jesus. And he lives somewhere out in the Midwest now. But like he talks about it, like I've watched his testimony on a YouTube video. And he goes, a guy named Luke stopped me at my freshman year at CU Boulder. He's like, I graduated, I moved on, but I never forgot what he told me. And now he's telling people, like, hey, you can't touch this stuff. Like, you have to follow Jesus. So I'm really glad he brought that up, because we've seen that happen in a very, very real way.
Well, I see that you apprehend that it's supernatural power. Also, you apprehend, obviously, that it's God who's doing these things. It's really great to hear today.
Awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it neat when God answers your prayers and who you are and what you do?
Yeah.
It's got to be a joy. It's work.
It is, but then
it comes back in rewards in different ways.
Yeah, I'll be on campus. I'll have not met a single person who's interested, and then all of a sudden, you meet that one person who's like, "I was praying last night that someone like you would talk to me." So I agree 100%. So I know there are a few things.
It's very exciting to hear that things are changing on the CU campus. I was born and raised here. I mean, the change of more. It's great to hear that it's changing back to people going to Christ.
Yeah.
My question is, you said it's a lot better from now than 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, you had maybe one out of 3,000 with mm-hmm. you know, what do you think? I mean,
I don't know if I could give you like a concrete number, but just the amount of
people. Just kind of a rough of how much has really changed in that 10 years.
Yeah, I think.
Just exciting.
Yeah, I think just, you know, people at least what I've noticed, a lot more just like atheistic people, just like, I don't believe this at all. I don't, you know, is it a little more hard, I guess. Versus even now, like I'll talk to someone who's a complete atheist and they'll still just talk to me and be like, man, I'm actually interested that you said that, you know, where it's like people who at first be like, no, just get away from me. You know, there's a softness. There's even people who you talk to who don't end up being interested, they still sit and give you a chance to give the gospel to them. I guess that's what I would see as the biggest thing, even from the 3 years I've been in the ministry. It's like there's people who are just softer hearted. They're more willing to listen, if that makes, I hope that answers that question. Yeah.
Even the ones that don't listen will remember.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
So,
you know, that's really encouraging to hear, Josh. You know, the climate on the campus, as Rick was just talking about. I mean, you hear from different organizations that are out there doing, you know, campus outreach or trying to share the gospel, that you hear the stories that things haven't really been changing. Like the climate is changing. More and more people are open. Kids are open to hearing about Jesus, and clearly that's a God thing that's going on out mm-hmm. there. That's neat to hear. I mean, you got a special place for me because I was a student up there back late 70s, and some guy, I actually knew him from high school that I'd seen him a lot. Some guy came up to me and talked to me about coming to the school. Their hook was Sunday night dinners at church. So I got connected there to the camp, there's a church in North Boulder, the campus ministry. So it's neat to see that continuation, because, you know, I'm a product to that.
Yeah.
Met my wife there, and you know, married some 47 years. So
that's awesome.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming and sharing this.
I just want to make a comment. You guys would be most blessed if you would support this guy. I mean, Josh was 2 years ago whenever I met you. But you just heard some of the testimonies today, and every month he sends you out a little newsletter. He'll have one of those testimonies on that newsletter. And so, I have certainly been blessed in supporting him and you guys. Did you bring anything along that you could
take? Yeah, I have some stuff. I have some stuff I can hand you guys if anybody's interested.
Thanks. And as I told you this morning, you look around. We're all a little older. So if any of the guys that you minister to a campus and like to join us on a Friday morning, we would be most appreciative.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring in young men.
Last call? Okay, thanks, Josh. Tomorrow.